Average salary in New Zealand. What is it, James?
It's $67,000.
And to the listeners, how often do you compare yourself to the average wage in New Zealand? Never. You are always comparing yourself to the people who are around you, right? So you might have just heard James say that our managing director has a McLaren and a Porsche. How often are you going to compare yourself to $67,000 compared to comparing yourself to Matt? Almost never, right? You're always comparing yourself to people who are, you know, above you. Welcome to Checks and Balances, brought to you by Partners Life. I'm Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. And today, five signs you're wealthier than you think.
So we recently did an episode on five signs you're poor. So we're going to spin it back the other way, Mike.
A bit of balance.
Yeah, and talk about five signs you're wealthier than you think. So let's not muck around at all.
Start with number one.
5 points, Mike. What is number one?
You've got a Rolex. No. Okay, so first one, you've got to be playing the right game. There's two games with this type of thing, right? You've got the status game, where you are just doing things for that external validation. It's that conspicuous consumption. You know, you want people to see you buying stuff. And then you've got the wealth game, where you are knuckling down and you are buying assets that are going to get you ahead in life.
Yeah, so many chase status and focus on what other people think about them, which, newsflash, never fills the hole inside of you. But true wealth lies in the wealth game, where we're focusing on investments, we're focusing on self-development, we're focusing on purpose and value and freedom, and avoiding the status game, which apparently, Mike, can be quite toxic.
Yeah, well, right, you know, it's a status game. You're buying things, and it only works if other people don't have the thing. If you buy a Ferrari, but everyone has a Ferrari, you're going to need something different, right? I mean, you may love Ferraris, but this is not what we're talking about here. It's that conspicuous consumption. I'm buying it, you've seen me buy it, and you don't have it, so I'm better than you.
I feel better about myself. The other thing is, hot take about sports cars. Does anybody actually want to own a sports car in terms of that's functional? Or does everybody, you know, buy it because of the way other people look at them?
Some people genuinely love cars, right? Like, you've got people who are like, love cars. I mean, you did buy a very nice signature class Toyota Camry, but it doesn't have the electric seats, James.
Yeah, so, you know. Yeah. I mean, it makes me think about the story of when Matt, our managing director, who's got a McLaren, was running late for a presentation.
Oh, I was giving a presentation over in the Beehive.
Yeah, presentation over on the shore. And there was traffic, and Matt had to go home and swap his McLaren for another car. Because
for the Porsche.
Because the McLaren overheats if it gets stuck in traffic. Which does make come back to like the practicality of these things. Granted, they go very quickly. So I think there's a really big question about where does the motivation come from? What are you trying to achieve? There's a nice quote, to win a status game, you have to put somebody else down. Do you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, or you've got to get a bloody car that operates in traffic, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, you've just got to be playing the right game, right? If you're playing the status game, you're going to lose. If you're playing the wealth game, much, much, much greater chance of winning.
Yeah, and it's highlighted in The Millionaire Next Door, wealth is not the same as income. True wealth is built off like prudent, I mean, as soon as you say prudent, you're like boring, but prudent financial management and decision making, and thinking about what are your goals long term and how can you achieve them. If you are just living paycheck to paycheck chasing materialistic things, you're not really getting any better. And the other reality is, nobody really cares, do they?
Yeah, The Millionaire Next Door sounds like it'd be a great title for a show on TLC channel or something. You know, like 90 Day Fiancé, The Millionaire Next Door. Either that or a great headline on a Tinder profile.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just really important you choose the right game and deciding where you want to go. Do you want to be chasing the status game? And there's probably a little bit of, you know, reflection that you have to go through. Is, are you doing a bit too much of that? Or do you want to focus on the wealth game? Mike, what is the next point?
Comparing yourself to others. You know, you're always going to go backwards if you're doing this. Research indicates that our perception of financial success is very heavily influenced by comparing yourself to others, right? So look, average salary in New Zealand, what is it, James?
It's $67,000.
And to the listeners, how often do you compare yourself to the average wage in New Zealand? Never. You are always comparing yourself to the people who are around you, right? So you might have just heard James say that our managing director has a McLaren and a Porsche. how often are you going to compare yourself to 67,000 compared to comparing yourself to Matt? Almost never, right? You're always comparing yourself to people who are, you know, above you.
Yeah, and there's the other thing that you are like the average of the five closest people to you, and that can mean that instead of you focusing on the average and you feeling grateful for the good things in your life, you can look at people who you are trying to aspire to be like and feel bad about yourself because you're like, they have things that I want. Why are they better than me? Like it can result in a whole like range of really unhealthy thoughts and behaviors.
Yeah. And that's why when I'm thinking in these thoughts about myself, I usually go spend a Saturday afternoon at the Horse and Trap in the pokey room. And I compare myself to the five average people sitting around me. And boy, do I feel great.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Stay toxic.
The other piece is just coming back to this, because so much of money, so much of success is psychological, not behavior-based. Dave Ramsey's, who's huge in the States and I think a financial advisor, says 20% of finances and achieving what you want is knowledge, but 80% is behavior. Another example of that, Mike, is around loss aversion and the psychological concept that makes pain, like when you lose and you feel bad, it's twice as powerful as the pleasure of gaining.
Yeah. So the solution here really is you've got to be comparing yourself. You know, your goals, your habits, your progress should be benchmarked against yourself, right? So I set myself a goal because it's meaningful to me. Here's how I'm going to track to achieve that goal. And that's what I'm comparing myself to. You are comparing your performance against your goals.
Yeah, yeah. You're running your own race. You're not running somebody else's race. The other thing to remember is, you know, we always think, we like to think we're the center of the universe, especially this guy, but really nobody cares. Nobody cares what everybody else is doing. Everybody is just self-centered, focusing on yourself. So make your financial decisions focused on you, not focused on others.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we talk all the time about planning and growing our wealth, but protecting that wealth is just as important. That's why having the right insurance in place can help when life goes unexpectedly.
And that's why this episode is brought to you by Partners Life, a New Zealand-operated award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured and 89% of claims paid.
Partners Life understand that having some insurance is better than having no insurance. They have flexible and personalized solutions for any budget or situation.
Check out their website in our show notes below.
Next tip, Mike, mastering the fundamentals.
Oh, yeah. Getting the basics right, you know. Look, first one of that is improving your financial literacy. Obviously, you're listening to this, so you must be wanting to improve your financial literacy to some degree. We're not that funny. Emergency funds, right? The basic stuff we talk about. Getting your debt under control. Living below your means. Having a budget. I mean, it's not rocket science, but, you know, how many people actually have cracked the basics of their finances?
Yeah, a big part, like in terms of just listening to this podcast, you have some level of prioritizing like financial knowledge and getting ahead. So that's like a really big tick. But the next piece is making sure you're taking action, right? Living below your means sounds so simple.
And so boring.
And so boring. But fundamentally, you have to stay below your, you know, live below your means for a long enough period of time. So, because if you earn a lot of money, you spend a lot of money, you earn a little money, you spend all the money, there's no difference. There has to be something left over at the paycheck that you can invest into assets that will go up in value. And then over time, you get back an income. If you come from a place where you're thinking, you know, Mike has that sweet working style shirt, I deserve a nice working style shirt. Mike's got his Louis Vuitton glasses. I want Louis Vuitton glasses. You're going to be chasing those, you know, superficial wins and feeling better about yourself opposed to long-term, you know, financial gain.
Yeah, it's sex, drugs, and living below your means. It's the new rock and roll.
Amen. Okay, so it is those fundamentals. Good financial knowledge, keeping to a budget, setting good goals, investing into wealth creation assets, and being consistent over a long period of time.
Yeah. The next thing, you've got to have a sense of urgency, right? You cannot delay this and put it off, you know, overanalyze things. Success often hinges on seizing opportunities as they arise, right? We know people who are wealthy. It may not be the brightest tool in the room, but they can jump on opportunities when they arise. They're not afraid. They don't put it off and they just take action.
Yeah. So much of this is about, you know, seizing the opportunity and not succumbing to the overanalysis or the procrastination. Like Mike said, a lot of really smart people out there who essentially, if you have too much knowledge, if you have too much information, and like a big one is always like property versus shares, paying down debt, starting businesses, you can find an argument for any solution. It means you do nothing, you do not end up investing into assets, and you do not achieve your goals.
Yeah, so they say, you know, the solution here, action is the antidote of anxiety. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge action, right? We're talking about this, like this urgency, you've got to do it. It doesn't have to be go out and buy 15 investment properties on day one. Small, consistent steps over time give you compounding return, and they are going to get you results.
Yeah, I really like taking the smallest, consistent step. A lot of people just want to achieve huge things over 6 months and get way ahead because we don't want to see structured and disciplined. We want to see results immediately. But when you think about small, consistent steps, it makes me think of a quote that I really like at the moment. We don't rise to our goals, we fall to our processes. So that's where you've got to have the consistency of the budget with the automatic payments, the constantly going into the investments where you don't have to think about it.
All right. So last but very much not least, James, what are we going to tell them?
You've got to have a personalized financial plan. Now, a personalized financial plan, the key word there is personalized, which if we're thinking about the status game versus the wealth game is focusing on you, your values, your goals, what do you want to achieve, when are you going to achieve them by, accountability, making sure you're on track, right strategy for you. It completely dismisses all the ideas around this person's doing this thing over here, I want this car, or I want this house, or I want to go on this holiday. A financial plan, perfect thing about money, right, Mike, is the point of money is just to live the life that you want. And it's about balancing, enjoying it now and enjoying it in the future. So that means that the things that are important to you, you don't get to do, but you get to make much clearer decisions. It's a lot about clarity going, here is what I want now. Here are the things in the future. I need to sacrifice these things now to get these things in the future.
Yeah, and it's ultimately the easiest way to make sure you're playing the right game. We talked about the status game versus the wealth game. This is the wealth game.
And I'll give you a little tip in terms of a financial plan. If you are setting goals like, I want 10 properties or I want $1 million, they are crappy goals because they actually, properties and dollars in the bank don't mean anything. It's all about why do you want that many properties or why do you want that level of income is a much smarter way to think about. I want an income of $100,000 a year when I'm 50, or I want to live in this value house on this street. I want to be able to send my kids to private schools, or I want to be able to help my kids into their first home, or I've struggled with money my whole life. I do not want to have to worry about, you know, living paycheck to paycheck anymore.
Absolutely.
So if we're thinking about a financial plan, it really means that you're not comparing yourself to other people and you're keeping motivated because you're seeing progress over time. It means you're focusing on the fundamentals. You have good income, you've got a budget, you've got a wealth creation strategy, and you can see the roadmap to achieve your goals. It means that you have urgency and accountability to take actions. I always say nobody gets wealthy from having a financial plan. They get wealthy from taking actions off the back of a financial plan. And most importantly, Mike, it means you're playing the right game.
All right, so those are our tips on how to make sure that you are acting like you're wealthy and not acting like you're poor. I would like to thank Partners Life for always sponsoring us and being there and making sure we are playing the right game. James, wrap it up.
Cool. Make sure to subscribe, make sure to review, make sure to give us a like, and we will catch you next time.
Cheers.